To encourage you this morning to consider with me the fifth purpose of the church. As I'm sure you all know, we've been looking at the five purposes of the church, and these are the purposes that Rick Warren suggests in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church. And some who are maybe want to criticize could say, well, this is artificial. You know, what does the Bible say? Well, I think if you'll look at those two commandments, the commandment that's called the Great Commandment, you will agree that, number one, the church ought to love God above all else. And that suggests the purpose of magnifying God. That's why when we get together, our number one purpose is to lift up our souls and ourselves to the Lord and to honor Him and magnify Him. Just imagine if Jesus walked in the room. Wouldn't we all rise or even fall down and worship and praise of Him? So He is here this morning. We need to magnify Him. We also need to minister to one another, because the Bible says to love our neighbor as ourself. And that suggests that we are to be involved in ministry, which is service of others in Jesus' name. And then the Great Commission, and that's that commandment found in Matthew 28:19-20, tells us that we ought to go. And that suggests the purpose of mission. And we've, talked about missions quite a bit in these last few weeks with our Annie Armstrong Easter offering and the North American missions emphasis. But we need to take it seriously, our obligation to go. And then membership. We are called to be a part of Christ's body, His church. What a wonderful thing it is to be a part of the family of God. We believe that membership is a commitment that we make to one another, a covenant that we make to certainly the Lord first, but to one another, to be a family of faith and to care for one another. And then maturity. We are to grow to maturity. Mature adults is a term that I think we've wore out every other term to talk about, you know, what used to be called old people in a nice way. You know, we don't like to call old people, especially if we are one. We don't like to think of ourselves as an old people. We like to think of ourselves as mature. You know, we're people who have grown to maturity, and that mature implies that we have a wisdom, that we've achieved a level of understanding of life, being able to deal with some of the difficulties of life in a mature way, kind of grown up. You know, we used to use that term, grown up. But even more so, grown up to the extent that we have become mature. That sounds better than to admit we've become old people. Well, this week I was sick. I don't know whether some of you may not have known that, but it could have been the flu that's going around. What did you call it, Ed? The Modoc crud? And someone has suggested to me, well, you know, Mel, you're probably just getting old. I don't want to admit it, but none of us want to admit that, do we? We like the term mature better. Well, in the church, we are to become mature. We are to grow to maturity. The Bible doesn't expect perfection. And that word that is found in the Bible that's usually translated perfect, be ye perfect, for example, Jesus said, as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's a Greek word that really means to become mature. We are to become mature in the sense that we realize that we need the Lord in our lives and we depend upon Him more and more. I mean, as you grow older, you realize that you don't have the strength that you once had. You don't have, you have more aches and pains than you used to have. And you found that you need to depend on others more, don't you, because of that. So one of the signs of maturity is that we begin to depend upon one another. We begin to humbly accept the fact that we are not God, but we need Him and we need one another. So there are many things involved in that maturity that I want to suggest to us this morning as we go along here. But I want us to consider the truth this morning that growing believers toward discipleship, toward maturity, which is really discipleship, involves, and I want to suggest three things that involves, and you're welcome to use your little notes on the back there if you find that helpful. But I want to suggest, first of all, that growing toward maturity involves an education toward maturity. An education toward maturity. Now, most of us have had some degree of education. And in that education, there is, first of all, involved a commitment to teach. I know we have at least one teacher here this morning, Joanne. Is there any other teachers here? I'm speaking in the public schools, or anyone that has been a teacher in the public schools. Thank you. We have a couple. How many Sunday school teachers do we have here this morning? Bless you. How many have been Sunday school teachers in the past? How many have benefited from a Sunday school teacher? Well, that's almost everybody. We need to have a commitment, don't we, to teach. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, God may not have called you to be a teacher in a school or to be a teacher even in a Sunday school. Now, I think He's called some that maybe haven't answered the call. But He's called us all to be teachers of His truth, hadn't He? To make disciples. And that word that's translated teach there really means to make disciples. And when you think of what Jesus did, that's what we are to do. We are to find someone that we can teach, that we can instruct in the truths of God's Word. And you may be thinking, like I've often thought, well, I've got so much to learn myself. Who am I to teach someone else? God will help you. God will help you if you're willing to learn. And you don't have to wait until you have a degree. But we are to be all involved in this commitment to teach one another. But we're not going to become mature if we don't have that commitment. And there's a curriculum to be taught here as well. Jesus said, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Now that's a pretty broad curriculum. That's the scriptures. I know it's not everything that we read in the scriptures was what Jesus spoke while he was here on earth, but he is the author of the scriptures, and he intends, I believe, that we think of the Bible when we think of that curriculum. Now we may bring in other truths or other like, for example, this book that we've been studying, The Purpose Driven Church. It's not the Bible, but it's based upon the scriptures. But we need to make sure that Bible is our curriculum. All things, Jesus said, teaching them everything to obey. That's the competency to be sought. You know, we can have a head knowledge, but if we're not obeying the Word of God, then we're not really doing what that curriculum teaches. I think that's maybe what's wrong with some education today, is it's not made practical. I remember when I was in college or high school, I took Latin. I don't know why I took it. I mean, I didn't know then, and I kind of wonder about it now even, because it's not a it's not a spoken language in the world. But many of our words that we use even today are based upon that language. So I see more and more the value of that. We need to be educating people toward maturity. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Bible studies. I hope that we do more of that training, because we all need to be trained. And Jesus said we're to do that. It also involves this growing believers toward maturity. It involves the presentation of the mature. You may not have the scripture before you. That's why I had it printed there on the back of your bulletin, if you have that. But it says there in Colossians 1:28, and you can turn to that in your Bible. But if you have a New International Version, it'll say that. It'll say this: we proclaim Christ. Well, I think it says there, we proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul wrote that. His desire, he said, was he knew that he had a responsibility to those that, whom God had given him, to present them, he said, perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a word that means mature. There comes a graduation day in the education process. And on that day, it's often called commencement, and commencement for a good reason, because it's not the end but the beginning. You know, a lot of times when you think you've reached that level, you've graduated from high school, let's say, that you're all done. You've accomplished a great thing, and now you can just kind of rest as far as learning is concerned. No, that's just the beginning. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have stages of maturity, but the ultimate graduation day, of course, will be when we get to heaven, won't it be? And on that day, there will be, first of all, the knowledge of a subject mastered. Here it says, we proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. God wants us to gain wisdom. And again, that's here in the Word of God. And then there's a saint matured. That's what God wants to work in our lives. As Paul said here, so that we may present everyone perfect. And there's that word mature in Him. A subject mastered. A saint matured. But also here is a Savior magnified. That we may present everyone perfect in Him. It glorifies Jesus when we become mature. Some of you are parents. And you know what it is to be so proud of that child that God has given you. And then there are other times you wonder why God gave them to you. It magnifies you, doesn't it? When they excel, when they exceed, when they reach a stage in life, they graduate from high school, they graduate from college, or whatever their achievements may be. It just makes you so proud, because you know that you're glad you're their parent. And it magnifies Jesus when we grow to maturity. There's a honor that most colleges have. They bestow an honor on a student. They bestow sometimes magna cum laude is one of the honors. That's not the supreme honor. Some have a higher honor. I think our California Baptist College just goes up to a magna. These are Latin words. I happen to know what they mean. It means with great praise. With great praise. God wants us to grow to maturity because it glorifies Jesus. A mature church is a church that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to be involved in not only the education toward maturity, but a presentation, the presentation of the mature. And then the culmination of maturity. I want us to look again at that scripture in Ephesians 4:13 where it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. And I believe here we have three dimensions of that culmination of maturity. Now, the culmination, of course, speaks of the goal, what God wants to achieve in our lives. There's the height of that culmination, unity in the faith. Now, God wants unity. Unity glorifies His name, but it has to be in the faith. There are some denominations that are unified, or at least claim to be, but they don't have much of the faith. Some don't even have the faith. They have some other faith. So it's important that we have the knowledge that God has given us in His Word. But when we become mature, then we agree upon what God has written in His Word. And we place ourselves under that Word. And when we do, there is agreement among one another. And that glorifies God. That's the height of that culmination of maturity, if you will. And then there's the depth of that culmination of maturity spoken of here where it says until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the depth. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible and study the Bible, but you don't come to know Jesus better, then there's something that's wrong. Either you're not understanding or you're not obeying what the Bible says. Because Jesus said, search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of Me. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of Him. That depth, if you will, of that culmination of maturity. And then the breadth of that culmination of maturity spoken of there as well, where it says we are to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't understand all of what that may contain, what that may mean. But I think what it means is that there's a fullness in Christ that we have not yet even begun to understand. And I think it must mean that we don't really know Jesus like He would like for us to know Him until we reach that stage of maturity. And I'm not sure that ever happens really until we get to heaven, that full knowledge. But He wants to bring us more and more to know Jesus, to study His Word, to see how Jesus dealt with people, how He loved people, how He loved even those that were unloving and those that probably we have such a great struggle in loving. How He embraced all. And He said, whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. And there's so much here. There's such a great depth. There's a hymn. It speaks about the wideness. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. I think that a little bit about this breadth. It speaks about that breadth of that knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we as a church commit ourselves to being a purpose-driven church. I don't think, you know, that I know there are those who say, well, we're to be Bible-driven. And they will say things like, you know, where do you find that in the Bible? But I believe if you'll take the time to study what these two commands teach. This command that's called the Great Commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Jesus said, and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. And then the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There you have magnify. There you have ministry. And if you'll ponder that Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And there you have missions. There you have maturity. There you have membership, and then maturity. The five purposes of the church. May God just impress them upon us. May He make them a part of our lives, a part of our individual lives, and a part of our life together as Altruist Baptist Church.